Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Up Your Game Radio. It is May the 7th, and this is the show that helps you become the CEO of your life, both in a personal way and professionally. And I must say, it's such a beautiful day out there. I hope you're all enjoying this lovely sunny spring weather we're having. And it's 1 o'clock here, Eastern Standard Time, and we're your hosts, Anna Perrette and Cecile Peterkin. We are and we own Cosmic Coaching Center, and we're from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And at Cosmic, we provide corporate and individual career solutions. So come on over and check out our website, Cosmic Coaching Center, where we coach you to think big picture, both in your career and in your life. And as well, we really, during our coaching sessions, we invite you to imagine all the possibilities that are available to you into living life by your rules. And as always, there's always something amazing developing, just like life is. We are working with WorkCanadaNow.ca, and in teaming up with WorkCanadaNow, they provide job seekers new to the job market an e-course that gives them additional tools that helps them differentiate themselves in the job market. It really is an exciting time for our company, as we work with WorkCanadaNow, because they will have their clients will have access to our leading-edge career coaching services. So again, that website is workcanadanow.ca. And I'm really excited about today's show. We're going to be talking about mothers and the importance of mothers. It's such a beautiful topic, and Sunday is Mother's Day, and I find mothers, it doesn't matter if it's a natural role or a role that you've taken on, mothers of the feminine nature are very important in the role of the development of a child's life. What do you say, Cecile?
Yes, they certainly are. As stated by Jill Churchill, there's no way to be a perfect mother and a million ways to be a good one. And it is so true. I think most mothers, I am not a mother, but from what I have seen, I think most mothers try to be perfect and lose the whole effect of what it is, really.
I agree with that. I think we're so worried about making a mistake as a parent. You know, this goes for mothers and fathers, but we're going to specifically talk about the role of mother, that we're so worried about making mistakes that we're almost afraid to be human in front of our kids. At least that's my perspective as a new
mother. Yeah, I do think so. And, you know, it's human nature in just about everything that they do, but the whole mother thing seems to be the biggest piece for perfection, and I don't want to make a mistake. I want to seem perfect in front of my child. And the funny thing is, whether you make a mistake or not, kids are so much smarter than you are. They know that you're not perfect.
And
half the time behind your back, they're laughing anyway with their friends.
That's so true. That is, especially in the teenage years, you know, when they realize that you really don't know everything.
No.
Noah, my little sunshine, is 6 right now, and I still have the joy of him thinking that mommy knows everything, which I try to dispel that common misperception, because really, raising Noah has been such an amazing gift. One thing that I have found, and I've always tried to keep that in mind, is be human in front of your child. I had read that a long time ago, and I try to keep that on top of mind. But I will tell you, the most humbling thing ever is to say, I'm sorry to your child. I will say, it really is humbling to me. Because,
so why is that? You say sorry, you say sorry to everyone else, so...
Right, but because you want him to, you want to seem put together for your child, right? Because you're raising this child. So you want to seem like you know it all, you've got your T's crossed, you've got your I's dotted, you're ready to rock. And when he looks up to you, you're a role model for that child. So when you, as a role model, know that you've kind of did something that you shouldn't have done, or you're just having an off day and you just, you know, maybe have cursed a bit of a blue streak and your child just walked into the room, you really don't want them to see that part of you. It's like that role model perspective. So we've put ourselves on such a pillar of, okay, to be a role model, I can't swear, I can't drink, I can't do this. But that is so unrealistic.
But also, as well, that is why most parents, especially most kids, when they get to be teenagers, they see their mothers as being so boring. Because, to be honest, fathers are not that rigid and regimental about being perfect. Grant you, they can't. But,
absolutely.
But they don't. They're a man. How can they be perfect?
That
but
is
no, but
so
seriously,
true.
Yeah, and so dad always seems like the cool one. And mom, you know, I become a mother, I get married, or I get to a certain age, and women just have this preconceived notion that they need to change who they are. I'm
yes,
no longer human because I am now married, or I am now 40, or I am now 35, and I'm also now a mother. I shouldn't look a certain way. I shouldn't speak a certain way. And, you know, eventually your kids realize, oh, my God, mommy's so boring. She doesn't even have a life. She doesn't do this. She doesn't do that.
Well,
and then
yes.
They suddenly, now, you know, especially girls, they suddenly, you know, do 180, 90, sometimes 360-degree turn because they don't want to be like their mother because they fear it's being so boring.
Absolutely. That is totally true. And then sometimes I you know, and it's funny you said that because I'm thinking of my own upbringing. I, you know, so found myself in that role of, my, you know, I really don't want to be like that, so I'm going to do the exact opposite. But now I find myself not totally going to where my mother was, but looking at what I really can capture, what I really, like her work ethic, her love of family, and then taking it and tweaking it and making it my own as being a mother myself. And it really is mothering from the ego. I don't know if that makes sense to people, but when your ego is so there where you have to be the best cupcake maker in junior's grade 2 class, and you also have to be dressed up with pearls and a beautiful dress, vacuuming the sofa, and at the same time you're a corporate woman, I think we're just setting ourselves up for failure with this huge unrealistic notion in our head that we've bought ourselves into. Or somebody sold this and we said, okay, let's go with it. This is the ideology of a mother. Boom, that's what I'm going to be. Makes no sense, does it?
Oh, I know. It doesn't at all.
No.
And I think what's also happened is that we missed out on so much. I shouldn't say we. Mothers tend to miss out on so much because of that perfection, the whole perfection thing that they need to, you know, especially working mothers. There are even some, not all, sorry, don't want to generalize, especially some working mothers, they take it to the whole other dimension because they feel that you know, I am working, so I'm taking away from my kids. They don't tend to look at the positive part about, you know, I can become a real role model to my daughter or to my son by working and, you know, and being me, being who I am. Because you're teaching your kids so much when you're actually being who you are. You know, and a perfect example is that my parents split up when I was very young. I was 2 years old, and I ended up living with my dad and my stepmother. And my dad was, you know, like the mother and the father. He was totally amazing as a father. And, you know, as I got older, and my mom was living in England, so I was living here in Canada with my dad and stepmother. And I'd see my mom on occasion or speak to her on occasion. And, you know, but it's not like I missed her or anything like that because I wasn't missing anything based on the amazing parent my dad was. However, when I got older and my mom moved to Canada, and, you know, we start talking about the breakdown of the marriage and what happened, you know, I saw my mom in a whole different light.
Okay.
I started respecting her even more because at that time, it was so long ago, in the 60s, for someone to leave, you know, she wasn't getting along with my dad and she just wasn't getting what she wanted of the relationship, to actually realize that, you know what, I have to save myself and leave her two kids and because she knew he'd be a good father, just so she could be who she was, because she left her mom home into, and she was young at the time too, 19, so she left her mom home to now become a wife.
Okay.
And I saw her in a whole different light. I started respecting her even more to say, oh my God, this is an amazing woman to be able to do that at this time.
Right.
Right,
you know,
because that was,
yeah.
So it's not like nowadays where, oh, so-and-so's parents are divorcing because of this, and, oh, you know, too bad, and it's more of an accepted of, you know, so this is what happened, whereas in those days it was like, you're till death do you part, and that's all there is to it, and
right.
Work out your differences,
yes.
Even though, you know, it's killing you on the inside, which,
right.
I mean, what are we saying to the women, what are we saying to the men, you know, like, too bad, suck it up. We all
yeah.
change, though. I mean, at 19, to get married or to leave your homestead,
yes.
you don't know yourself. You don't know anything
right.
about who you are.
That's
right. part of discovery, right?
Yes. Yes.
I
oh,
mean,
yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, she's a major role model for, you know, to embark in such a milestone at a time like now. And Anna, I think our guest who was running a bit late is now on the line.
Yes, he is actually.
Yes.
We just wanted to talk a bit about mothers from our perspective, but now we're going to go into the Gen Y perspective of motherhood, of mothers. Did you want to introduce our guest, Cecile?
Yes, and our guest this afternoon is Justin Palmer. And he will be discussing the meaning of the word mother from a Gen Y perspective, Generation Y. Justin is the marketing guru behind Cosmic Coaching Center. He comes with in-depth, hands-on experience in research, experimental marketing at Mosaic. Justin has worked with such companies as Rogers Wireless, Microsoft Xbox, Kinect, HP Computers, and Autotrader. He also ran two businesses, Toronto-based Fashion Line, PH Scale Outfitters, and Justin Palmer Photography. He's also a key member for organizing committee for such organization as the Toronto Medicine Youth Choir Advisory and Committee Board and IOTA Inc. His expertise was called upon once again as an organizer and a participant for the G20 Youth International Summit that was held in Toronto, April 2010. During the G20Y Summit, he was in charge of marketing, event planning, and implementation, and connected with MPs, diplomats, and dignitaries. Justin shared his philosophy of relationship marketing during the G20Y Summit, and the importance of a company giving back to the environment and its surrounding community as more of a requirement than an easily neglected responsibility. Justin Palmer was born and raised in Toronto of two very entrepreneurial-minded parents. After attending Cardinal Carter Academy for the Arts, where he excelled in music, Justin is currently enriching his marketing knowledge at Humber College in the Marketing and Management Program in Etobicoke, Ontario. Justin's ultimate goal is to transcend his knowledge to the younger generation and guide companies to a more genuine style of business. And listeners, if you have any questions for Justin, please call 1-347-884-8362. And the number to call in, 1-347-884-8362. Justin, welcome to Up Your Game Radio.
Hello,
cool.
Justin.
Thank you. Hello, how are you ladies doing today?
We're good. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're more than pleased to have you on to listen to your insights about the role of mother.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I feel like seeing it through like the child's perspective of like how like a mother can affect your life. I feel like I have a bit of knowledge, I guess.
Well, I'm sure you do. I'm not sure if you're hearing that. Cecile, are you hearing some feedback on your end?
Yes.
Okay, I'm hearing a bit of feedback, so we're going to try to work through this on you, since you've been on the line, okay, Justin? So can you hear us okay?
I can hear you guys fine.
Okay, good. So I guess the first question that that comes to mind is, what is the meaning of mother to you?
What is the meaning of mother? I feel that the meaning of mother. I feel like you don't essentially have to have kids to be a mother, first and foremost. I feel like that's one of the biggest things. I feel like being a mother is there's so many aspects. Like, for example, like you have to be a teacher, you have to be a cheerleader, you have to be kind of like a coach. There's a lot of different jobs within being a mother. It's like, I feel like a lot of mothers see just like, oh, put food on the table, cook the food, and then that's it. Or just like, or make sure Johnny's not in trouble, and then that's it. I feel like there's so much more to it. There's like, because, especially in my life, like, I've gone to my mother for so many different things, like advice on girls, on school, just a dialogue, a friend. I feel like you have to be a mother or father. You have to be kind of like the center of your child's world. Kind of like, you know how like whenever we need information or we're looking at researching in something, the first place that we go to is Google. Like, mm-hmm. The mother should be the Google of like the son's life, or like, of the child's life.
That's a great way to look at it.
interesting analogy. Wow.
Okay, no pressure there.
It's not like for example, like whenever I have to do like a paper for school, like I will do like all my first research on Google, but I won't get all my research from Google. It just put me in the right direction.
That's
a good analogy, and I like what you said. It don't necessarily you have to have the kids. So based on what you're saying is, to be a mother doesn't mean you have to actually give birth. It's to be able to be a cheerleader, a coach, a teacher, in order to point the person in the right direction.
For sure. I've personally seen parents that are just they give birth and they can reproduce, but it doesn't exactly mean they have all of the tools to be a parent, or like they don't have like the state of mind to become a parent. Because like, especially being a mother or father, like there's a lot of stuff that you have to give up, as soon as that child is born, it ends up it's no longer necessarily your life. It is more of like, let's say it's 60% of your child's life, 40% of your life. Like every decision and like choice is now reflective upon them. And I feel like a lot of people have a hard time stepping out of that because they haven't spent enough time reflecting on themselves or adding enough to their own life where that they can contribute to another. I feel like it's just, in a nutshell, I think it's just being a nurturer, being able to just to guide and coach and teach. Because I've even heard of from sports teams where the players see their coach as more of a parent figure than anything else. A buddy of mine just used this example because we're talking about these two old soccer players, this guy Ryan Giggs and this other guy Paul Scholes, and they were coached, and they played for one team their entire life, Manchester United, and the coach was Sir Alex Ferguson. And Sir Alex has known them for so long that he has almost appeared to them as more of a father figure than essentially as a coach. And it's not as if he gave birth to them, and it's not as if like he has any relation to them, but like Sir Alex Ferguson has all of the correct tools and all of the mentality and like the power to instill that that type of effect on their lives, where they see him as more of a parent figure than more than anything else.
Okay.
So based on your definition of a mother, what would you say, because I like some of the things that you have said, you know, about the nurturer, the teacher, the coach, the cheerleader. So based on everything, your definition of a mother, what mistakes do you think mothers have made?
Mistakes that mothers have made? I feel that certain mistakes that mothers have made are certain things like, I would say that one thing is to install all of the, once you feel that you have installed all the correct tools or teach the right tools to your child, I feel that it is very important that they trust the child to use those tools. I find that a lot of parents, especially my generation, we call it like the helicopter parent. The parents is like all over, just hovering. You can hear the chopper like blades just over them all the time, just like watching them, listening to them all in their life all the time. I feel that a lot of parents, because they like, especially I feel like in my generation, parents feel like they have to be very much hands-on, or mothers have to be very hands-on. I feel like they should. One mistake is like they should once they believe that they have installed all the correct tools and teachings to the child, allow them to discover these tools, use them in their own lives without so much of like you watching the parent having to be there constantly. I find that this one way will really help to children to gain independence and to grow, because they have to have that little bit of trust by themselves, that little bit of shaky ground where they discover themselves. So I feel that is very, very important, that once that a parent teaches their child the correct tools, allow them to make their mistakes so then they can learn from those mistakes and pass on. The only time where I feel like a parent should be worried about the direction that their child is going is if they continuously make the same mistakes over and over again, even after you've taught them. But I feel that the biggest thing is just to trust in the children's ability to be, like, to grow and be successful and be the capable person that they will be because of your teaching.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel
like, interesting. I like what you said. It's the trust in your kids' abilities. Now, what lessons have you learned from your mother? Because you've raised some really strong points of view.
Mm-hmm.
So what lessons have you learned from your mother?
From my mother? What lessons have I learned from my mother? I would say the strongest lesson. I have this right here. I think the strongest lesson that I have learned from my mother is communication. I feel that what so many people neglect in their lives is an actual person to teach them the strength of communication, how to communicate, and especially like how you communicate to different people. My mother always gave me teaching of communicate to everyone how you want to be communicated to. And make sure that you communicate to them as if everyone is like an interviewer, like they're a process for a job, because you never know who is who and what aspects that they have in life. So never judge a book by its cover. Go into the book, take an interest in people, look into them, and then make a decision based upon that. Don't you go into a store and a retailer and the person who works there, the sales associate, will distinguish how they communicate to you by how you look, and it will distinguish how much of a value customer you will be. I feel like my mother had taught me to never ever do that. Always take the time to know someone and then make your judgments after that. Also, I feel that what my mother has really taught me about communication is that even after you have made up your mind who is who and like what is that person, is also to communicate them still in a polite and a pleasurable way that you would want to be communicated to. Like for example, this is the biggest example. I find that a lot of adults, especially parents to the children, always talk down to their children. Always talk down. Always talk as if they are the end all and be all, and there is the final answer, and their aspect of life is so much more clearer than that child's view will ever be. I find that is one, especially speaking about mistakes, I find that that's one of the biggest mistakes that certain mothers or parents can make, is that not taking the time to realize the amount of knowledge that their child has learned, or the different perspective that the child has learned that can be either better or less, it doesn't matter, to their own. One thing that my mom has always done with me is that she has always talked to me as if I was on the same level, all the time. Never talked me down, always talked to me as if I was on the same level, as if I was the exact same age as her. It's just because, like, within, like I'm of Jamaican origin, of Jamaican heritage, and I find in the Caribbean, a lot of parents talk down their kids so much, act as if they don't know anything. Like a familiar saying, like, children must be heard and not seen. So children should be seen and not heard. And it's giving the impression that that the youth have nothing of value to say or offer at all, and forgetting to the point that at one point that these adults were also youth, and they had youth at that point that they still have youth now as an adult. So what has changed? Like, has the age changed anything? Not necessarily. Experience has changed it, but their age hasn't necessarily changed their views as they have grown. So, therefore, is a child's or a youth's view that much unvaluable compared to an adult? I don't think so. I think that, like, especially giving your child confidence, I feel like one of the biggest things to do is just let them talk openly, let them talk freely, let them express themselves. You let them communicate with you on any type of level. And I believe that lesson right there, me being able to communicate with my mom about anything on any type of level, even this conversation right now, this would not be happening if I never had that open type of conversation with my mom. Me and mom, we could talk about anything. We were like, girls, sex, we could talk about money, we could talk about politics. It was an open forum, because as far as my mom as far as my mom thought, if my child cannot communicate or discuss this with me, who else are they supposed to communicate or discuss this with? I'm the first person in this child's life. Therefore, every type of interaction that I have with him or with her is going to reflect how they interact with other people.
So, Justin, from what you're saying, and I'm sure you'll agree with this as well, it sounds to me like your mom is basically what Anne and I were discussing earlier about moms not taking on that human form once they start having kids or, getting married. It sounds to me more like your mom maintained that, you know, yes, I'm a mother, but I'm still human. So, therefore, I will treat my child the same way and communicate the same way as if she were communicating to someone of her own age.
Exactly. Totally. I totally agree with that. Like, I find out, like, so many parents get caught up in the thought that I am the authority, I'm the person now, I'm the authority, like everything I say goes, and what I say, like, but it's not like that. I find like acting like that, you block off. I feel like acting like that blocks yourself off to so many things that your children has to say or has to offer. Like, I feel like so many parents are in their house like, oh, I don't know what Billy told us about. I don't know what Billy's saying. If you're a lot more open with Billy and you allow him to express himself, I find that you would get to know your child better, and your child would get to know you a lot better, and that will make your relationship grow as you go on, because your child will change as they grow on. But if you always have that strong basis of communication, their relationship with you will forever stay the same, no matter what aspects of life that they enter as they grow up.
Absolutely. I full on agree with that, Justin. That the more open the lines of communication, or the feeling that the lines of communication are open, the more likely your child will come to you with concerns or problems, especially when they reach those turbulent teenage years where they're just trying to figure out who they are themselves and testing the ground for that as well. But I really want to thank you so much for having you on our show. What about you, Cecile? Like, that was wonderful insight Justin has given us.
Yes, it certainly has, and it's you know, it's nice to be to actually get it from the perspective of a Gen Y, because like he mentioned earlier, it's that you know, Gen Y is a different generation from the X and the Boomers, and things have changed. They've grown up in the technology age as well. They're more exposed to a lot more things. You know, and the thing about it is too, as parents, you know, most parents like to think that, as he said, they know everything and they're the smartest. But again, like he said earlier, the Gen Ys, you know, they have a lot to offer as well, too, because they're so computer savvy and so much information is available to them that they can hold just about any conversation.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
So, So, he left us with a lot to think about. So, yeah, we thank him very much for taking the time to speak with us, and wish him all the best in his future endeavor. And hope he'll take a lot of those lessons into his adult life and when he gets married.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Oh, for sure. There's no way like I can like forget all this.
Okay. Well, Justin, thank you very much. And
Thanks, Justin.
All the best.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. You too.
Thanks, Justin. Now, I don't know
wow.
about you, but that went quickly. It was nice to hear that what we were speaking of before, we were
yes.
right on cue with how parents, the biggest thing is just because you're a role model doesn't mean you can't, you know, falter. I mean, we're not perfect. We are who we are. And the
and
best
it's funny
thing,
because, yeah, as a role model, you should falter.
Exactly, because my feeling is this, as I'm raising Noah, is that if I show him how to, you know, that you can make a mistake and that you're still okay making a mistake, because the misperception of my mother was perfect or try to be perfect, so I need to be like that, so we'll always feel like we're never, you know, matching up. But if they see right off the bat that you're just human, you're doing the best you can on the day that is given, and you actually explain, you know what, I'm just in a really kind of in a bad space right now, kiddo. Just,
yes,
you know,
yes.
bear with me. Give me 5 minutes. I'll be right with you. They respect that, and honestly, thank you, Mommy, for saying that. I've gotten that
yeah.
from Noah.
Oh,
because
yeah,
I'm treating
know,
him that like an equal. I'm treating him as, I'm respecting him as an individual.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly what it is, and that's
right.
exactly what Justin was trying to say. It's like, you know, we are people just like the adults, so treat us like we are. We're an equal. We have bad days, so do you. I understand. If you let me know that you're having a bad day, it's easier for me to understand that than me to, you know, thinking, oh, my God, I can't have a bad day because Mommy's always in a good mood and always so perfect.
Right, or, you know, kids are energetically perceptive. They don't know you're having a bad day without you having to say a word because of how you carry yourself. Remember, verbal communication is only 10 to 20%, right? The rest is all your body language and such. So they know right off the bat, Mom's
yes.
in a bad mood. You don't have to say a
exactly.
thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Right? So who are you kidding?
That's so true. Exactly.
Right? So
exactly.
say to your child, I'm having a bit of a day. And you know what? The best thing that, you know, the first time I allowed myself to say that was when I was going through my bout of depression and anxiety, just riddled with just, you know, sadness. And I sat down with Noah and said, I'm just having a really bad day today. I feel a little sad. I don't know why. His little arms wrapped around me and said, that's okay, Mommy. We all have days like that.
See, there you go.
See, I gave him an opportunity,
yes.
right? To nurture.
Yes.
I'm teaching
yes.
him that we're all We're all here equally that way. And it's okay to have a bad day. So that way when he has a bad day, I say, baby, are you having a bad day? Yeah, I am. And he feels okay with it.
Yes, yes, yes. He doesn't feel the need to hide it because you hid yours.
Right.
Yeah. So he doesn't think you're going to judge him because now he's having a bad day because you never seem to have a bad one.
Right. Now it's not shameful anymore. Right?
Yes.
Because when we're trying to hide it, we're saying to our child, the end message is, it's shameful to be sad. It's shameful to be in pain. I don't want my child ever to think that it's shameful to cry when he's hurt.
Yes.
That's silly.
Yes.
So
it's true.
When you're some type of role model, and I mean we're focusing on mothers, but really just be yourself.
You know, and the unfortunate part about it too, it's a big role.
Yes, it is.
And a lot of mothers messed up, and even when you think you've got it right, and that's why I like this quote, it's, you know, because even when you think you've got it right, you don't have it right.
Right.
Because they will never think you're perfect. They're kids.
Well, no,
so
they never will. No, they're smart off the bat. They know more than you think.
So it's just be who you are. You know, and the thing is, it's like we are so accustomed to being trained on everything that we're doing, but it's a role that nobody's trained on. You know, and there are all these books that are written by all these different people, and they're written by people who try it and it worked for them, but that doesn't mean it's going to work for you.
Totally. So really, mother or parent from authenticity, if you're doing something that's working for your child or your children, you know, run with it. If it's not working, you know, sit down and even ask.
Yes. Yes.
Hello, sunshine.
Yeah.
You know, am I, you know, does, you know, working on crafts all day make you happy? No. Oh, but Mr. Maker said it would. But I'm not a craft kind of person. So what are you? I'm more of a sports person. Okay. See, now the dynamic has changed. You've been told you have to do crafts because that's what you're supposed to do developmentally wise. But meanwhile, that's not what the child's into. I remember a neighbor of ours who has had this beautiful boy, and he was so imaginative. But his father was always forcing him to all these sports, sports has its time and place, and it's wonderful. You just have to find the one that works for your child. But all he wanted to do, his biggest thing was to go to the Ontario Science Center. He wanted to experiment. He wanted to draw dragons. He lived in his imagination. That's how he really wanted to develop more of himself. But his father was so in tune to what he should be doing as opposed to what would help his child. But he never saw that.
Yeah, and it's funny you should say that because I think sometimes even when, you know, kids become teenager, and of course, you know, it's a difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole family dynamics, it also changes because, you know, everyone is just going at each other because, again, the teenager is now growing, the kid has now become a teenager, they're growing up, they want to express their opinion, and, you know, the mother, is just not having it. And I think, you know, so there's that big struggle. And I think one question that would be really good for, you know, a lot of parents, you know, especially the mothers, talking to their kids when they get to that age, it's like, you know, I'm struggling to understand you. What can I do? What do you need from me?
It's just a simple question, but it's so powerful.
Well, powerful. I'm struggling. You know, what has happened to our relationship? I know you're getting older, but I'm struggling because I haven't seen you change into a young man or a young girl. For me, you're still my baby. So what can I do? Like, I'm really struggling. Yes.
Exactly. Because now you're dealing with a child who is trying to figure out himself or herself in this realm of hormones going all over the place.
Yes.
4 years of high school being the most intense time of your life, really. Because everything feels so flashlight, right? It's like the flashlight is on you. And so that changes your child. And you'll go, oh, I don't even know who you are. Well, of course you don't, because they don't know.
They don't know.
They
so,
don't know.
You know. And so there it is now. The child realizes, oh, my God, well, I'm struggling. Mom is also struggling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe we can work on this together.
And all I could say is, you know, and this is such a big thing, just seeing my niece and nephew grow up and such, and I'm I'm holding on to hope that I remember this, and I'm going to keep this recorded, is that their bad mood has nothing to do with you.
No.
Parents have to get out of that mindset that when a child comes in and he's, how was your day? It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, they have
so
a life
too. Stop being ticked off at your child.
Yeah, it's not all about
don't
you.
Don't be grumpy at me. No, let him express. Let her express herself.
Oh, you know,
and
the favorite phrase I love too is, especially coming from mothers, because we're dedicating this to mother, how could you do this to me? Like when the child was doing what they were doing, that most of the time they're having fun. They're really not thinking about you at all.
No, not at all. It has
nothing to do with you.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So stop getting it from your perspective and get into their shoes as a teenager and learn how their generation runs, and you'll figure it out.
You will. You know, it's funny. I was talking to a client yesterday, and she has a 10-year-old son. And, you know, and she's very good with her son. Oh, she's an amazing mother. You know, she just practiced the whole dialogue, communicating, constantly talking to her son. So yesterday we had a session and we were talking because Mother's Day was coming up. And I can't remember where she said they were, but the discussion of drinking.
Okay.
And when you know, drinking and smoking and all this, so he raised the topic. Actually, he was the one who raised it. And, you know, she said, when you get older, to become a teenager, I cannot stop you from going out there to drink. She spoke to him about the whole drinking alcohol and drinking responsible and everything. And she goes, you know, we'll have this conversation again about drinking responsible and being responsible for yourself and knowing when to stop and not to be a follower and whatever and all that. But she concluded by, yeah, I will tell you all these things, but when you're out there by yourself, you know, I cannot stop you from drinking if you want to drink. And I would never do that either because I drank when I was younger. However, if you should ever drink, do not drive, do not get in the car with a drunken driver, and let's make a pact that if you drink and you're intoxicated, call me, because wherever you are, I will come and pick you up, and I will not berate you or make you feel badly about it, and we'll make a pact today. And I said to her, wow, you know, that's fantastic, because a lot of times when kids, you know, get up to little mischief out there, like drink or get drunk or whatever, you know, they don't call their parents because they know what's going to happen at the end.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Yes.
They're going to be berated or they're going to be, you know, angry.
Oh, yes. So I said to her, are you going to hold on to that patch? She goes, as hard as it might be, I will, because I promise him, because I want him to trust me and know that I will not be judging him. Because she said, and then she also said to him, she said, you know, you're too young now, but when you get older and we're talking some more, I'll tell you some things that I got up to.
See?
So, and that's the human side of it, because parents all got up to their little mischief as well, too.
You will,
right?
And we've done it. We did it. And, you know, it would be crazy for us to think that our perfect children will not do it, because they are, after all, trying to figure out who they are and what works for them. And they're going to make mistakes, just like you did as a parent. So suck
it up. So for all our listeners who are mothers, happy Mother's Day on Sunday, and I hope you have a wonderful day with your family. And remember, you know, there's no need to be perfect. As stated by Jill Churchill, there is no way to be a perfect mother and a million ways to be a good one.
Perfect.
So enjoy yourselves and think about yourself and stop trying to be perfect. And for next week, our show's focus will be on career and job search. The show will tap into the minds of recruiters and hiring managers because, you know, that's a whole mindset that I'm sure everyone would like to get into. And we will have Antoinette King of Options Consulting Solutions, and she will be giving us the inside track into one of the biggest questions as job seekers everyone would like to know. What are hiring managers looking for? So she'll be on as our guest, and she'll be talking more about that. So if you have any questions, be prepared to have them answered next week. So call in, and we'll certainly make sure we can answer your questions. And thank you very much again for a wonderful show. And we look forward to having you next week. And don't forget to head over to our fan page on Facebook and like us. And follow us on Twitter at Cosmic Career and at Anna Peretz. And, of course, check out our new partnership with WorkCanadaNow.ca and also on Twitter at WorkCanadaNow. So thank you again for spending this time with us, and enjoy the rest of your week, and we look forward to spending next Tuesday with you again. All the best. Take care.